Hello and welcome to Voice on Record with me, Sean Williams. This is Resonance 104.4 FM or resonancefm.com, and today's show is really focusing on Wes Harrison. There's a record that I found by Wes Harrison, recorded a long time ago. He is billed as, you won't believe your ears, the comedy and sound effects of America's funniest man. Many people have claimed that title and usually is not correct, but you'll be able to see or hear yourselves later on. The second half of the show will be the third part of four of the serialization of Macbeth. But what we're going to hear is Wes Harrison's Duck Hunt. And just by way of introduction, I'm going to play a few sounds that you might hear Wes doing, but these are really recorded sounds. So we'll start off with a great recording from the Argo record, World of Steam. I'm tempted to read the sleeve notes for that passage because it makes a little bit more sense. Not that it's just a great sonic object in its own right, but this is what the sleeve notes say. This is written in 1970 by Peter Handford. South of Bromsgrove Station on an August afternoon in 1959, a Bristol-Bradford passenger train is waiting to leave the yard where two banking engines, numbers 47276 and 47308, have just come onto the rear of the train. One of these banking engines gives a series of whistles, and number 42922 at the head of the train gives answering whistles, which are answered by another short whistle from one of the bankers. Number 42922 starts the train. The banking engines take up the load and the train passes by, out of the yard and on through Bromsgrove Station, accelerating away up the incline, under a road bridge and on towards Blackwell, where the banking engines will drop back and wait for an opportunity to return light to Bromsgrove. So if you're listening to the podcast, then maybe you want to have another little listen with that in mind, and see if you can unpick all the action that's going on there. Excuse me. So the next point to make is that it's not exactly that sound that Wes Harrison is going to emulate in his famous Duck Hunt sketch, but there's a connection, which you'll have to wait and to find out. So the next little clip I'm going to play is from the record group Captain Douglas Bader introduces Salute in Sound on the 50th anniversary of the RAF. I've played a few bits from this record before. Douglas actually will tell you all about it. His narration to this little bit is rather wonderful, and there's another little clue in one of the things he's talking about.
Now this absolutely thunderous and ghastly and hair-raising noise that you're hearing now is in fact a lightning. The pilot, as he went past, actually lit his reheat, which is the extra power boost caused by igniting the unburnt kerosene in the tube, and everybody's hairs stood on end. And the extraordinary thing is, you know, looking at this as we were standing on the airfield, the larks were all sitting up a few feet in the air, singing away like mad, and this hideous noise came through, and they all thought, "Oh, what on earth's going on?" You know, and they shut up, and as soon as it had gone, they started singing again. Well, I don't know. I suppose they haven't got the sort of eardrums that we've got, but good for the larks. This noise now, which isn't so violent really, is probably the best aerobatic team at present in the world. It is the Royal Air Force team known as the Red Arrows, and it comes from Little Risington, which is the Royal Air Force Central Flying School. The aeroplanes are the Gnat, the Folland Gnat, which was designed by that famous designer, Petter, who got so fed up with the politicians and the aircraft industry that he gave it all up and retired to become a monk.
Now, I think it's about time for Wes Harrison. So, by way of introduction, I don't have a date on the record. It's Philips, manufactured in Canada. I found it in Amsterdam, and now I'm sitting in Scotland preparing this show for you, so it's had a bit of a nice few travels. There's some pretty good pictures. I'll try and get those on the website on the back. But it really feels like it's 50s. The sort of political correct deviations certainly point to an earlier era. But if you don't let that worry you too much, and if it does, I apologise. But, you know, we have to be open to be able to offend one another. So, without further ado, here is Wes Harrison and the Duck Hunt.
Well, I do all these sounds vocally. I use no props, no tape recorders, phonographs, tricks or gimmicks of any kind. This microphone I have in my hand is not a special mic, although it looks like a gun. It's a standard stock Shure Brothers mic. Everybody thinks there's a tape recorder inside of it. We can't get it in there yet, but the Japs are working on it. Now, tonight I'd like to tell you a wild and woolly story complete with all the vocal sounds. This story I call The Big Duck Hunt. This is all about duck hunters, guys who like to hunt ducks. Now, I know you like to hunt ducks. You know, you women do, too. So in order to hunt ducks, you've got to get out to the duck blind. And in order to get to the duck blind, you must employ some means of transportation. Let's take our duck hunters one at a time and see their problems and tribulations of getting out to the duck blind. Now, the first one is going to gallop down to the duck blind on the back of a horse. So he runs out there, puts his foot in the stirrup, and throws himself over into the saddle. Well, then he gets up and goes back around, tries again. Once he's on the back of the horse, he takes his hand and he reaches back and slaps the horse on the rear. And then he starts the horse out with just a simple walk. Now we bring the horse up to a trot. Now let's bring the horse up to a canter. Now let's bring the horse up to a gallop. Now we cross a highway, a hard top surface like concrete. And now he crosses a bridge, a little sway back. Then he's going to jump a little shallow stream. Oh, it's not very wide. It's about from the front of the stage to the back of the hall. Well, this is a strong horse. He can do it. Here he goes. Thank you. That takes care of the first duck hunter. Now our second duck hunter is going to take a jet. He's got more money than brains. He bought himself a jet, and this is a single engine job because I've only got one tongue. That's something to think about. So he goes out there and crawls into this thing, whirls over the turbine. Well, it's either that or drop dead. Well, he got it started, thank God. He taxis out to the end of the runway and he blasts off. And then he passes overhead and cuts in his afterburner as he heads for the duck blind. That takes care of the second duck hunter because, you see, he was only 2 miles from the duck blind and he overshot. Now we come to the next duck hunter. This one's going to take the train. This is the big locomotive of yesteryear, the one with the steam whistle. Remember the whistle when you could hear it on a cold night and it gave you a lonesome feeling? Remember that sound? Well, it's gone now. Well, it is. It's gone. It's been replaced. Progress has taken over. We have the diesel electric. Can you imagine anything more lonesome sounding on a cold night when you're alone than a diesel electric? Isn't that a gasser? There's the train in the station, and our duck hunter is on board. Here are the nostalgic sounds of this old giant locomotive which has passed into history. It's gonna be a big one. More steam. Well, Well, it's a long train. I got one to go. Now, there's the train. It's zooming right along. Our duck hunter's on board. He decides to go back to the bar, a dining car. And we hear him as he goes from car to car. You know, when you open the door and slam it and pass into the next car. Oh, here's the sound. Remember this one? This is the one that used to put you to sleep, the clickety-clicks of the wheels. Then he opens the door and goes, "Oh, you like that one, huh?" I like that. That was a sound. I'll never forget that one. I was in the Navy 8 years, 7 on trains. How could I ever forget it? Now we open the door. Then he reaches the smoking platform, and we listen to the wheels as they click along there. They cross the switch track, and then the little bell goes by. Crossing. That takes care of that duck hunter. You see, he caught the wrong train. Now we go to the next one. This is where the fun starts. This one just bought himself a new car. He is proud of this. It's a bright red car. He parked it in front of the house so the neighbors could see it. This builds up the hate. There's the car. Oh, they do this. Oh, they do. They wave to the neighbors, you know, to get their attention. So he starts out of the house, going out to the car. Here he comes, walking across the living room floor, going outside. Opens the front door. Oh, you like that? You want to do it again? I'll do it again. Well, if you like it that much, I'll do it again. And... overdid it, the doorknob came off. I'll kick it over there, it'll fall down those wooden stairs and hit the concrete. I'll kick it. Then he steps out on the front porch, going out to the car. Fell onto the front porch on an empty beer can. Climbs out from underneath the beer can, the front porch. And then he goes on out to the car. Now, this is a beautiful car. This is a magnificent piece of machinery. They send men to college for 4 years to study how to become mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, stress engineers, and all kinds of engineers. This is the result, the end result. He opens the door and climbs in. Checks the electric windows. You know, you push the little button and the windows go up and down electrically, occasionally. Well, at this point, the neighbors are waving frantically. He's not doing so good, you know. Well, those things happen like that. Then he gets the keys out and he tries the engine. Now, this is a magnificent piece of machinery. This is precision. This is better than a wristwatch. It's better than Cape Canaveral. No countdown. Takes the keys and tries the engine. 16-cylinder engine, 32 carburetors. Spares. Tries the engine. Well, he's got a damn good battery. What this thing needs is a good, swift kick. Oh, I've got to tell you this. You know the most nauseating sound that was ever created by man? There is one. This is the most sound that was ever generated. It's a cold morning. You go out to your car. You climb into the car, get the keys out. Here is that unforgettable sound, or unforgivable sound. But here's here is the worst part, and you know that automotive industry, as old as it is, haven't been able to figure this one out yet. Here is the worst part. That stinking thing is trying to start, and it's so cold that it keeps hitting on a different cylinder. And what do? I know what you do. You're pushing on the floorboard with both feet and pulling on the steering wheel. I almost pulled the steering wheel out of my car. Here's that sound. Oh, this is the morning you should have stayed in bed. Like I said, this car needs a good, swift kick. Now, that's the way my grandfather used to get the old car started. He'd get out and take a piece of chalk, mark an X in the middle of the bumper, and take his foot and bust it one. He'd get back into that thing, and he'd take off down the road. Well, he got it started anyhow. But that's what it needs. Now, in these new cars, you don't do this. You get out there and mark an X anywhere on that car, and you kick it, and you've had it. Do you know what takes place when you do that? Well, they're making them thin. They are. You know these big $20,000 jobs they brag about? No, they put the big V and the diamonds on the hood. You know, it's great. Looks great. You can walk out there and take your hands and push the whole side of the car in. Have you ever done that? And some of them are so thin, you can't get the, you got it in. And even, and even those little bitty sports cars like that little Volkswagen. You know what a Volkswagen is? That's a pregnant roller skate. Well, This duck hunter's got to get this stinking thing started. We'll try it again. God, that had me a little worried. Now, he takes off down the road. This is a hot rod duck hunter. Four speeds forward, stick shift. Here he goes. Hang on. Oh, Did you get the last shift? I double clutched it. Here he comes. Watch this. This is the fast car. Radar buddies. Well, they'll never catch him. Here he comes again. He's cut in all of his afterburners, or carburetors. Now watch this. Boy, he's moving. That was him. When you go at speeds like that, you're not sure of yourself. You know, 700 miles an hour is dangerous. You can't see the road. Matter of fact, you don't even know you're on a road. Up ahead was a big sign. The sign says, stop, make a right-hand turn, dangerous curve. Really, there was a cliff there. Here he comes. Hubcap. That takes care of that duck hunter. Now we got one to go. This next one's got it made. All he has to do is step off of the pier into the boat. A very simple task. So he steps off the pier. Too simple, he missed. He climbs into the boat, he unties the boat, pushes it away from the pier. He has no worries because he's got an outboard motor. And all you got to do is pull that rope, the engine will start and take you out to the duck blind because that guarantee says it will. He pulls the rope. He reads the guarantee, it says pull the rope again. Turns the page, says pull the rope again. Turns to the last page and it says tear up the guarantee. What this thing needs is a good hard pull, and the way you do that is put one foot in the bottom of the boat and one on the transom. Grab a hold of that rope and pull. Put some elbow grease behind it. There goes the rope. Now, to get it started, you take off your shirt, $20 shirt, rip it up, make a rope. Wrap that around the flywheel and pull the shirt tail. It's time for the hammer. It'll start now. He pulls that shirt tail. When they do start, they sound like they're going straight up. Well, he takes off across the lake to the duck blind like all sane, courteous, responsible boatmen do. On the way out, he takes two fishermen and one water skier. Now he eases the boat into the duck blind. He's ready to hunt ducks. He breaks open that double barrel shotgun, loads it. He's ready. Turns on his miniature radar. Sonar in the boat for the fish in case the ducks don't show up. He's ready. Comes the first duck. Picks up the shotgun, takes a bead on the duck. He's about ready to pull the trigger. Somebody on the right opens up with a machine gun. You think that's frustrating? Somebody on the other side opens up with a 40-millimeter cannon. They throw the whole works at that duck. And so ends the story of the big duck hunt. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
It says on the sleeve, you won't believe your ears, and I hope you did believe your ears, because I find that absolutely amazing. Some of the techniques that he uses, especially the reverb and the decay on the sounds, the explosion sounds, you just think, oh, well, That's just the hall in the venue in where he's being recorded. But then when he starts speaking again, it cuts off immediately. So some really clever techniques there, especially when they go through from one train carriage to another and you hear the sound of the wheels on the tracks. Great stuff. Lots of lessons there for sound designers to learn, that's for sure. So just to remind you, you're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM, resonancefm.com. I'm Sean Williams, and this is Voice on Record. If you want to get in touch with us with any queries or questions or suggestions, or complaints, I suppose, then send us an email. The email address is voiceonrecord, all one word, @gmail.com. You can find pictures of some of the album covers and other details of playlist info if you go to voiceonrecord.blogspot.com, or just do a general search for Voice on Record. We've got a fairly up-to-date website now, and the podcasts have been are being brought up to date even as we speak, which is terrific. So you'll be able to get access to all the previous 47 shows. 47, that's right. So the rest of the show for the next half hour or so, 25 minutes, will comprise the third part in our four-part serialization of Shakespeare's Macbeth with an all-star cast.
Is Banquo gone from court?
Aye, madam, but returns again tonight.
Say to the king I would attend his leisure for a few words.
Madam, I will.
Nought's had all spent, where our desire is got without content. 'Tis safer to be that which we destroy, and by destruction dwell in doubtful joy. How now, my lord, why do you keep alone? Of sorriest fancies your companions making, using those thoughts which should indeed have died with them they think on. Things without all remedy should be without regard. What's done is done.
We've scotched the snake, not killed it. She'll close and be herself whilst our poor malice remains in danger of her former tooth. But let the frame of things disjoint both the world suffer ere we will eat our meal in fear and sleep in the affliction of these terrible dreams that shake us nightly. Better be with the dead, whom we to gain our peace have sent to peace, than on the torture of the mind to lie in restless ecstasy. Duncan's in his grave. After life's fitful fever, he sleeps well. Treason has done his worst. Nor steel, nor poison, malice domestic, foreign levy, nothing can touch him further.
Come on, gentle my lord. Sleek o'er your rugged looks. Be bright and jovial among your guests tonight.
So shall I, love. And so I pray be you. Let your remembrance apply to Banquo. Present him eminence, both with eye and tongue. Unsafe the while that we must lave our honours in these flattering streams, and make our faces visards to our hearts, disguising what they are.
You must leave this.
Oh, full of scorpions is my mind, dear wife. Thou knowest that Banquo and his fleance lives.
But in them nature's copies not etern.
There's comfort yet. They are assailable. Then be thou jocund. Ere the bat hath flown his cloistered flight, ere to black Hecate summons the shard-born beetle with his drowsy hums hath rung night's yawning peal, there shall be done a deed of dreadful note.
What's to be done?
Be innocent of the knowledge, dearest Chuck, till thou applaud the deed. Come, sealing night, scarf up the tender eye of pitiful day, and with thy bloody and invisible hand cancel and tear to pieces that great bond which keeps me pale. Light thickens, and the crow makes wing to the rooky wood. Good things of day begin to droop and drowse, whilst night's black agents to their praise do rouse. Thou marvelst at my words, but hold thee still. Things bad begun make strong themselves by ill. So, prithee, go with me.
But who did bid thee join with us?
Macbeth.
He needs not our mistrust, since he delivers our offices and what we have to do to the direction just.
Then stand with us. The west yet glimmers with some streaks of day. Thou spurs the later traveler apace to gain the timely inn, and near approaches the subject of our watch.
Hark! I hear horses.
Give us a light there! Oh!
Then 'tis he. The rest that are within the note of expectation already are at the court.
His horses go about.
Almost a mile, but he does usually so all men do. From hence to the palace gate, make it their walk. A light! A light!
It will be rain tonight.
Let it come down!
Treachery! Oh, fly, good friends! Fly! 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 Thou mayst revenge! Oh, slay!
Who did strike out the light?
What's not the way?
There's but one down, the sun is fled.
We have lost best half of our affair.
Well, let's away and see how much is done.
You know your own degrees. Sit down. At first and last, a hearty welcome.
Thanks, Your Majesty.
Ourself will mingle with society and play the humble host. Our hostess keeps her state, but in best time we will require her welcome.
Pronounce it for me, sir, to all our friends, for my heart speaks they are welcome.
See, they encounter thee with their heart's thanks. Both sides are even. Here I'll sit in the midst. Be large in mirth, and on we'll drink a measure of the table round.
There's blood upon thy face.
'Tis Banquo, sir.
'Tis better thee without than he within. Is he dispatched?
My lord, his throat is cut, but I did for him.
Thou art the best of the cutthroats. Yet he's good that did the like for Fleance. If thou didst it, thou art the nonpareil.
Most royal, sir, Fleance is scape.
Else been perfect, whole as the marble, founded as the rock, as broad and general as the casing air. But now I'm cabined, cribbed, confined, bound into saucy doubts and fears. But Banquo's safe.
Aye, my good lord, safe in a ditch he bides with 20 trenchant gashes in his head, the least a death to nature.
Thanks for that. There the grown serpent lies. The worm that's fled hath nature that in time will venom breed. No teeth for the present. Get thee gone. Tomorrow we'll hear ourselves again.
My lord.
My royal lord, you do not give the cheer. The feast is sold that is not often vouched for, as a making tis given with welcome. To feed were best at home. From thence the sauce to meat is ceremony. Meeting were bare without it.
Sweet remembrance, sir. Now, good digestion wait on appetite. And health on both.
Let please your highness sit.
Here had we now our country's honor roofed were the grace person of our Banquo present. Who may I rather challenge for unkindness than pity for mischance?
His absence, sir, lays blame upon his promise. Please your highness to grace us with your royal company.
The table's full.
Here is a place reserved, sir.
Where?
Here, my good lord. What is it that moves your highness?
Which of you have done this?
What, my good lord?
Thou canst not say I did it!
Never shake thy gory locks at me!
Gentlemen, rise. His Highness is not well.
Sit, worthy friends. My lord is often thus and hath been from his youth. Pray you keep seat. The fit is momentary, but a thought he will again be well. If much you note him, you shall offend him and extend his passion. Feed and regard him not. Are you a man?
Aye, and a bold one that dare look on that which might appall the devil.
Oh, proper stuff. This is the very painting of your fear. This is the air-drawn dagger which you said led you to Duncan. All these flaws and starts, impostors to true fear, would well become a woman's story at a winter's fire authorized by her granddad. Shame itself, why do you make such faces? When all's done, you look but on a stool.
Pretty, see there. Behold, look, lo, how say you?
Why, what care I? If thou canst nod, speak too. If charnel houses and our graves must send those that we bury back, our monument shall be the moors of kites!
Art quite unmanned in folly.
If I stand here, I saw him.
Why, for shame.
Blood hath been shed ere now, the olden time ere humane statute purged the gentle wheel. Aye, and since too, murders have been performed too terrible for the ear. The time has been that when the brains were out, the man would die and there an end. But now they rise again with 20 mortal murders on their crowns and push us from our stools. This is more strange than such a murder is.
My worthy lord, your noble friends do lack you.
I do forget. Do not muse at me, my most worthy friends. I have a strange infirmity, which is nothing to those that know me. Come, love and health to all, then I'll sit down. Give me some wine. Fill full. I drink to the general joy of the whole table, and to our dear friend Banquo, whom we miss. Would he were here! To all and him we thirst, and all to all.
Our duties and the pledge.
Avaunt and quit my sight, let the earth hide thee.
Thy bones are marrowless, thy blood is cold. Thou hast no speculation in those eyes which thou dost glare with.
Think of this, good peers, but as a thing of custom, 'tis no other. Only it spoils the pleasure of the time.
What man dare, I dare. Approach thou like the rugged Russian bear, the armed rhinoceros, or the hircan tiger. Take any shape but that, and my firm nerve shall never tremble, or be alive again, and dare me to the desert with thy sword. If trembling I inhabit then, protest me the baby of a girl. Hence, horrible shadow, unreal mockery, hence! Why so? Being gone, I am a man again. Pray you, sit still.
You have displaced the mirth, broke the good meeting with most admired disorder.
Can such things be, and overcome us like a summer's cloud without our special wonder? You make me strange even to the disposition that I owe, when now I think you can behold such sights and keep the natural ruby of your cheeks when mine is blanched with fear.
What sights, my lord?
I pray you speak not. He grows worse and worse. Question enrages him. At once, good night. Stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once.
Good night, and better health attend his majesty.
A kind good night to all.
It will have blood, they say. Blood will have blood. Stones have been known to move, and trees to speak. Augurs and understood relations have by maggot pies and choughs and rooks brought forth the secrets man of blood. What is the night?
Almost at odds with morning, which is which.
How sayest thou that Macduff denies his person at our great bidding?
Did you send to him, sir?
I hear it by the way. But I will send There's not a one of them, but in his house I keep a servant feed. I will tomorrow, and betimes I will, to the weird sisters. More shall they speak, for now I am bent to know by the worst means the worst. For mine own good, all causes shall give way. I am in blood stepped in so far that should I wade no more, returning were as tedious as go o'er. Strange things I have in head that will to hand, which must be acted ere they may be scanned.
You lack the season of all natures. Sleep.
Come, we'll to sleep. My strange and self-abuse is the initiate fear that wants hard use. We are yet but young indeed.
Thrice the brinded cat hath mewed.
Thrice and once the hedge. Big wine!
Happier cries, tis time, tis time!
Round about the cauldron go, in the poisoned entrails throw. Toad, that under cold stone, days and nights has 31 sweltered venom, sleeping god, boil out first, did the charm it.
Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Fillet of a fenny snake in the cauldron, boil and bake. Eye of newt and toe of frog, wool of bat and tongue of dog. Adder's fork and blindworm sting, lizard's leg and howlet's wing. For a charm of powerful trouble. Like a hell broth, boil and bubble.
Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Scale of dragon, tooth of wolf, witch's mummy, maw and gulp of the ravin salt sea shark. Root of hemlock, dig to the dark, liver of blaspheming Jew. Gall of goat and slips of yew, slivered in the moon's eclipse. Nose of Turk and Tartar's lips, finger of bat, strangled babe. Ditch delivered by a drab, make the gruel thick and slab. Add thereto a tiger's chaudron for the ingredients of our cauldron.
Double, double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Cool it with a baboon's blood, then the charm is firm and good. Something wicked this way comes. Open locks, whoever knocks.
Oh no, you secret black and midnight hags. What is to do?
A deed without a name.
I conjure you by that which you profess. However you come to know it, answer me. Though you untie the winds and let them fight against the churches. Though the yeasty waves confound and swallow navigation up, though bladed corn be lodged and trees blown down, though castles topple on their warders' heads, though palaces and pyramids do slope their heads to their foundations, though the treasure of nature's germens tumble all together even till destruction sicken, answer me to what I ask you!
Speak,
demand, we'll answer.
Say, if thou'dst rather hear it from our mouths or from our masters.
Quorum! Let me see him!
Pour in sow's blood that hath eaten her nine farrow, grease that sweaten from the murderer's gibbets, throw into the flame.
Come high or low,
thyself and office death play show!
Tell me, thou unknown power.
He knows thy thought, hear his speech, but say thou naught.
Man. reward for thy good caution, thanks. Thou hast harped my fear aright, but one word more.
He will not be commanded.
There's another, more potent than the first.
Macbeth! Macbeth! Macbeth!
Had I 3 years, I'd hear thee.
Be bloody, bold, and resolute. Laugh to scorn the power of man. For none of woman born shall harm Macbeth.
Then live, Macduff, what need I fear of thee? But yet I'll make assurance double sure and take a bond of fate. Thou shalt not live, that I may tell pale-hearted fear it lies, and sleep in spite of thunder. What is this that rises like the issue of a king? And wears upon his baby brow the round and top of sovereignty.
Listen, but speak not to it.
Be lion mettled, proud, and take no care who chafes, who frets, or where conspirers are. Macbeth shall never vanquished be until great Birnam Wood to high Dunsinane Hill shall come against him. That will never be! Who can impress the forest? Bid the tree unfix his earth-bound root. Sweet boatmans, good! Rebellious head, rise never till the wood of Birnam rise, and our high-placed Macbeth shall live the lease of nature, pay his breath to time and mortal custom. Yet my heart throbs to know one thing. Tell me, if your art can tell so much, shall Banquo's issue ever reign in this kingdom?
Seek to know no more.
I will be satisfied. Deny me this, and an eternal curse fall on you. Let me know. Why sings that call? And what noise is this?
Show. 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 Show his eyes.
And grieve his heart.
Come like shadow.
So depart.
Thou art too like the spirit of Banquo. Down! Thy crown does sear mine eyeballs. And thy hair, thou other gold-bound brow, is like the first. A third is like the former. Filthy hags, why do you show me this? A fourth, starred eyes. What, will the line stretch out to the crack of doom? Another yet? A seventh? I'll see no more! And yet the eighth appears, who bears a glass which shows me many more. And some I see the twofold balls and treble scepters carry. Horrible sight! Now I see it is true, for the blood-bolted Banquo smiles upon me and points at them for his. What is this so?
Aye, sir. All this is so.
Where are they? Gone! Let this pernicious hour stand I accursed in the calendar. Come in, Will Arthur!
What your grace's will?
Saw you the weird sisters?
No, my lord.
Came they not by you?
No, indeed, my lord.
Infected with the air whereon they ride, and damned all those that trust them. I did hear the galloping of horse. Who was it came by?
'Tis two or three, my lord, that bring you word. Macduff is fled to England.
Fled to England?
Aye, my good lord.
Time, thou anticipatest my dread exploits. The flighty purpose never is o'ertook unless the deed go with it. From this moment, the very firstlings of my heart shall be the firstlings of my hand. And even now, to crown my thoughts with acts, be it thought and done. Castle of Macduff I will surprise, seize upon Fife, give to the edge of the sword his wife, his babes, and all unfortunate souls that trace him in his line. No boasting like a fool, this deed I'll do before this purpose cool. But no more sights. Where are these gentlemen? Come, bring me where they are.
Fly the land.
You must have patience, madam.
He had none. His flight was madness.
when our actions do not, our fears do make us traitors.
You know not whether it was his wisdom or his fear.
Wisdom? To leave his wife, to leave his babes, his mansion and his titles in a place from whence himself does fly? He loves us not. He wants the natural touch. For the poor wren, the most diminutive of birds, will fight her young ones in her nest against the owl. All is the fear and nothing is the love. As little is the wisdom where the flight so runs against all reason.
My dearest cousin, I pray you school yourself. But for your husband, he is noble, wise, judicious, and best knows the fits of the season. I dare not speak much further. But cruel are the times when we are traitors and do not know ourselves. When we hold rumor from what we fear, yet know not what we fear, but float upon a wild and violent siege way and move. I take my leave of you. Shall not be long, but I'll be here again. Things at the worst will cease, or else climb upward to what they were before. My pretty cousin, blessing upon you.
Fathered he is, and yet he's fatherless.
I'm so much a fool. Should I stay longer, it would be my disgrace and your discomfort. I take my leave at once.
Sirrah, your father's dead. And what will you do now? How will you live?
As birds do, mother.
What? With worms and flies?
With what I get, I mean. And so do they.
Poor bird. Thou'st never fear the net, nor lime, the pitfall, nor the gin.
Why should I, mother? Poor birds they're not set for. My father is not dead, for all your sake.
Yes, he is dead. How wilt thou do for a father?
Nay, how will you do for a husband?
Why, I can buy me 20 at any market.
Then you'll buy 'em to sell again.
Thou speak'st with all thy wit, and yet if faith with wit enough for thee.
Was my father a traitor, mother?
Aye, that he was.
What is a traitor?
Why, one that swears and lies.
And be all traitors that do so?
Everyone that does so is a traitor, and must be hanged.
And must they all be hanged that swear and lie?
Everyone.
Who must hang them?
Why, the honest men.
Then the liars and swearers are fools, for there are liars and swearers enough to beat the honest men and hang up them.
Now, God help thee, poor monkey. But how wilt thou do for a father?
If he were dead, you'd weep for him. If he would not, it were a good sign that I should quickly have a new father.
Poor prattler, how thou talkst.
Bless you, fair dame. I am not to you known, though in your state of honor I am perfect. I doubt some danger does approach you nearly. If you will take a homely man's advice, be not found here. Hence with your little ones. To fright you thus, methinks I am too savage. To do worse to you were fell cruelty, which is too nigh your person. Heaven preserve you, I dare abide no longer.
Whither should I fly? I have done no harm. But I remember now, I am in this earthly world, where to do harm is often laudable, to do good sometime accounted dangerous folly. Why then, alas, do I put up that womanly defense to say I have done no harm? What are these faces?
Where is your husband?
I hope in no place so unsanctified where such as thou mayst find him.
He's a traitor.
Thou liest, thou shaggy-eyed villain.
What, you egg? Oh!
You vile treachery!
He has killed me, mother. Run away, I pray you.
Murder. Dastardly deeds there, and you can hear the fourth and final part of Shakespeare's Macbeth next week. I'm not sure what the rest of the show is going to be comprised of at this point, but tune in and you never know, you might find it enlightening, enjoyable, rewarding, or absolutely dreadful. You never know. It's a bit potluck. So thank you very much for tuning in this week. I do hope you'll be able to make it next week. This has been Voice on Record. I'm Sean Williams. Goodbye.